1 again is where we're going to be, James chapter 1. We were in the first part of James last week, and we'll continue on, Lord willing, until Jesus returns first. Then we won't worry about it, and so we'll just go to be with him throughout all of eternity. And so I've entitled this series, How To, for those who want to. Not everybody wants to do what they're supposed to do or what God's Word says, and so James is the how-to for those who want to. You can put into practice these things that James is very practical here and is very pointed as well. And so he doesn't mind speaking his mind or writing it to us here as well. And so, but he's going to talk to these individuals there, these believers that were struggling with some of life. And we talked a little bit about that last week. Not going to preach that again. Somebody's got to catch a cruise, so we don't want to involve that. And so he's basically, they were going through the trials and testing of God, and they were not doing very well. They weren't faring well. They wanted to get out of that. They wanted to try their own methods and their own ways instead of enduring or being patient, letting God work in their lives. And so we're like that a lot of times. And so when they get out of that testing and they want to go and do it their own way or get, you know, figure out a path out of it rather than waiting on God, they always get into trouble. We always get into trouble. And that's what he's going to address now. This is what he's going to address now when we're going to pick up with verse 13 here in just a minute. And so as I mentioned, that God is interested in us living out our Christian life. And so God is interested and concerned with practical Christianity. He wants you to live out your faith in Christ and continue in the journey of Christ's likeness and not stuck on the side of the road fixing flat tires that come from temptations along the way. Because in our journey, if we're following along in the Lord, we're doing fine as long as we follow after Him and we're patient, letting Him, you know, guide us and direct us through this. And even though something might be going on in our life, as was mentioned, you know, troubles and trials and you know, with finances or physical needs and physical problems or relationship problems, you know, and so forth. But as long as we stay the course and follow after Him, we do fine. But as soon as we allow temptation to take over in our life, we get a flat tire, and there we are beside the road, going nowhere in life. James has already told us that God allows trials and tests in your life for the purpose of bringing you to spiritual maturity in Him, which will draw you closer in your relationship with Him, which will increase your faith in Him to endure, to stand during those tests of life that comes along. We're talking about the everyday practical life stuff that gets in our way. We said last week that bullets don't go around Christians, and there are Christians that get into car wrecks at times as well and suffer. Christians get fired from time to time and get unemployed. And so those are things that are usually somewhat out of our control, but it's a part of our life. And that's why James told us last week, he says, but hang in there, hold on, be patient, endure to the end of that test, because God is at work in your life. God basically wants us to grow up and trust Him. However, there's a danger that when we get into those tests and the pressure begins to build, that we want to get out from underneath of that. And there's a danger of giving in to temptation so that we can get out of that test, out of that trial, out of that difficult situation. We want to get out. But James is going to tell us how to survive these temptations. And we need to understand, though, first of all, the difference between a test and a temptation. Trials or tests are sent to build you up. It's there to establish your relationship with the Lord, to make that stronger when tests come into our life. And tests come into our life, as I said earlier, they're often just everyday life stuff that everybody on this earth experiences. But God, because of our relationship with Him, God is able to use those because we're His child. And so God uses those to strengthen our relationship with Him, to just trust Him. But temptations, on the other hand, are sent to tear us down. And we're going to find out that they don't come from God. We're going to find those out. Temptation doesn't come from God, because God is about building us up. Temptation is about tearing us down. Temptation is simply this. It's an invitation to do evil, to do what's wrong, an opportunity presented to you to do something wrong. I've thought about this. The illustration of Joseph. Many of us are familiar with the Old Testament of Joseph. You remember Joseph? Joseph was loved by his father. His father gave him that wonderful, beautiful coat, you know, that he had made, and a coat of many colors and so forth. And his brothers didn't like him. And so what happened was his brothers threw him down the pit, threw him down in the dry well down there and left him there to die. And so that was a test in his life, you see. Sometimes that happens to us. People toss us aside, do they not? And so, but then his brothers got to thinking, well, we can make some money off of him because they see a caravan coming along. And so let's get him back up out of there and we'll sell him. And so they sold him into slavery. There you go, see. Tossed him aside, sold him off like he was nothing. You ever have family abandon you? Just to not talk to you anymore at all. It takes endurance. It takes patience. Letting God work in our lives through those times. So he goes off. He's in slavery. He's in Potiphar's house. And then, you know, temptation comes along. There comes a temptation. Potiphar's wife sees Joseph and thinks, "Wow, my, he's awful nice looking." And so she rips, he says, "No, I'm out of here." And so he goes to leave and she rips the coat right off of him, and out the door he goes and he flees. He overcomes the temptation. Why? Because he's been patient. He's been enduring in the test when he was thrown into the pit, enduring the test when he was sold into slavery. And so now he says, no, you don't understand. It'd be wrong for me to do this. And he says, "I'm not going to do it, so I'm out of here." Potiphar comes home, and the wife lies, and he's thrown into prison now. Back then, the prison was prison. I mean, it was a dark, damp, you know, dungy kind of a place, and there he was. There he sat. But then he began to interpret dreams. God was still at work in his life. Joseph didn't give up. Joseph kept on enduring. Joseph kept his faith in God. He kept following along. "All these things are happening to me. I don't know why." Because God says, "I'm working in your life." And he left the prison and went right to the palace and became the second man underneath Pharaoh himself, and was used mightily of God to bring his family, which was in famine at the time, and brought them in and defeat. And you know what? When they finally come to understand that this was Joseph that we'd thrown in the pit and done all these things, he says, "God forbid." He said, "Y'all meant it harm for me, but God meant it for good." You see, that's the tests in your life. God always means them for good. But right in the middle of those might come a temptation to bail, to get out of that test in your life. Don't do it. Don't do it, James is going to say. Don't stay the course. Be patient. Let God work in your life. James wrote to these believers, not trusting God during their trials, and they gave in to temptation. They became angry at God. And that led to sin. Let's take a look. How do you survive temptations? This is that how-to for those who want to. First of all, you have to realize the source of temptation. Where in the world does temptation come from? You say, "Oh, it's the devil." We've seen that, the laugh-in? You remember that? "The devil made me do it." Old Flip Wilson was... It'll show your age if you know what I'm talking about. How do you survive temptation? First of all, we know this in verse 13. It says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted of God.'" Why? He says, "For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." Could you imagine tempting God to steal? I've got it. It's nice and shiny and pretty. All you got to do is take it. Doesn't belong to me. It belongs to somebody else, but you can have it. Could you imagine God saying, "Okay, I'll do it. I'll steal it. I'll take it." He says God is not like that. God does not tempt, and he cannot be tempted with evil. God doesn't operate in that. I've heard folks claim, "Well, if God didn't want me to eat all this food, he wouldn't have made it taste so good." Yeah, or if God would meet my needs, I wouldn't have to steal it, you see. James says if you're caught in sin, don't blame God for it. If you give in to that temptation that comes along, it is not from God. If it's to do something wrong, to get out of what you're in at the time, to make life a little better for you, he says it did not come from God. Why? Because God doesn't deal in sin. Never has, never will. It is not His nature to lead anyone to do something wrong. It's God's desire that you pass the tests of life, those tests that we talked about last week. It's God's desire that you remain faithful to Him, that you endure, that you're patient during those tests. And I know, I've been in tests and trials before, and I know the pressure can mount and the load can get heavy, you know, and I know that the pain is very real often at times, but God wants you to pass those tests and to enjoy the blessings of maturity and that relationship with Him, because when you get on the other side of it, you can look back and say, God walked with me every step of the way. Well, you've seen the footprints in the sand. This is what He's talking about. And God doesn't want any. He doesn't want us to cheat our way out of it or to fail the test by giving into sin. Well, if God loves us so much, why doesn't He protect us from temptation? Why doesn't He protect us from temptation? In order for there to be a test, in order for that test to be effective, there must be room for failure. There has to be room to fail. Instead of sheltering us from the temptations, God strengthens us during the tests of life. We're patient. The relationship that we have with Him is growing. We're maturing so that when we finally get tempted, we can say no. Because we're that strong. Because we learned it over here so we can live it over here. This is what God is trying to do in our lives, you see? And so He strengthens us in the test so that we can resist the temptations. Since God is for you and against sin, when you give in to sin, when you give in to those temptations and sin, you need to stop making excuses and quit blaming God, because they don't come from God. If temptations don't come from a holy God, then where do they come from? Well, they got to be coming from Satan, because we eliminated God. So it's got to be Satan. Satan's the one who's always getting into my way. He's always tripping me up. He's always busting my chops. And so it's got to be Satan. Well, let's take a look. Verse 14. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. You see what he says? That's about as clear as it gets. About as clear as it gets. You and I sin because we choose to do so. It's because of our desires that we want. That's what he's talking about there when he says the lust. I want more money. I want more money. My job is just not satisfying, so I'm going to go down. If in the Western days, you'd go out and rob the bank. See? You get on your horse and off you go and spend the money somewhere. You see? But picture that. We do that today still because we have this desire, you know, to do, but we don't want to be patient with God and allow God to put us where we need to go and to be. And so this is what was happening in their lives, and we'll find out next week about this as well. Satan does, you know, we've got to get over this fact. Satan doesn't drag Christians into sin kicking and screaming all the way, making them do things that they don't want to do. That he doesn't do that either. Little boy was told, he said, his mama told him, she said, don't eat those cookies. You see, don't eat those cookies. They're for later. And so a little later, mom comes in. She caught him. And he says, well, I was only smelling one and my teeth got caught. Yeah. And so that's us a lot of times. We follow after our desires, you see, our lusts. And we follow after those. And before long, we're going to do something that we're not supposed to, because that's what we're following after instead of following God and what God wants us to do in our lives. And so temptation always creeps in and it comes. And so what's the source of temptation? Our own desires. Our own sinful desires. That's why it is so important that we maintain our relationship with the Lord as close as we possibly can in life. That's why. We'll talk a little bit more about that here in just a moment. When you were saved, God did not remove that sin nature that dwells within you. If you're given into temptation, you cannot blame anyone but yourself. And what happens when you do, when you give into that temptation, that sinful desire to do something that's wrong, to try to get something that God would give you if you stayed the path, you're just trying to do it a lot quicker, reveals our desire for self is greater than our devotion to the Savior. Think about that. How do you survive temptations? Recognize the steps of temptation, okay? There are steps to temptation. Nobody just falls headlong into temptation, okay? You don't just fall into it. It's more like a stair step getting to this point. Let's take a look. Contrary to popular belief, okay, it's not a single act. It is a process. No one falls into adultery. No one falls into alcohol. There's a process by which you actually get to that point in life. And Eve is going to be our illustration, okay, for this as well. Step one is an attack upon your desires. You remember Eve in the Garden of Eden, and she would go by and God said, you can't touch that fruit over there. Some say it was an apple. Let's just go with it and say it was an apple. She'd look over there on that tree. There was the apple. She'd walk by and she'd see it and say, oh, that's mighty good. I bet that's tasty too. And off she would go, and back and forth. There she would go. And so look at verse 14. It says, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lusts and enticed. His own lust. That is our God-given desires. God gives us desires for an appetite, does he not? What would happen if we didn't have a desire for food? What would happen? We would die, would we not? Malnutrition, they call that, okay? And so without an appetite, you'd starve. Without sleep, you wouldn't function properly, okay? We know that God has given, we say, oh, I'm just sleepy. I want to go to sleep. That's a desire. I want to do this. And so that's what happens. So we go to sleep. God has given us desires. Okay, those desires, the problem with it is those desires that we have are now tainted by sin, with that sin nature that we have. And that's that wrong desires that we have. That's why our relationship with Christ is so important. It helps to curb those wrong desires in life. Otherwise, you got to fight them on your own and you'll lose. Huh? You know, it's when you seek to satisfy these desires outside of God's will that you get into trouble. Eating is normal. Gluttony is sin. A piece of cake is fine. The whole cake? You say, well, that's one piece if I eat the whole thing at one time. It doesn't quite work that way. Sleep is normal. Laziness is sin. What do you desire? The psalmist said this. The psalmist said in Psalm 37:4, he says, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Delight yourself in the Lord. Make the Lord your delight, my happiness, my joy, my all in all, my desire for over anything and everything else in life. He is my desire, and it says, and he will give you the desires of your heart. You say, that then I can have anything I want? Yes, because what you want is him, his way, his word in your life to stay the course when the tests come. You see, that's what he's saying here. This is where the peaceful life comes from. It doesn't come by chasing after and trying to get away from all these tests and trials in our lives, but to go through them with God each and every day. God, here we are. It's here again. What are we going to do today? God will let you know. Because isn't that what he said earlier? Ask of God who gives wisdom liberally is what he said. Second step, okay? First step is desire. We have these desires, and so Eve sees the apple over there, and she thinks, hey, that's good, that's tasty, you know, I bet. But God said no, okay? There you go. Step two is an attempt to deceive. Verse 14 again, it says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away. Drawn away, he says, and enticed. Enticed there means to bait a hook as a fisherman, is what it says. Bears don't go looking for bear traps, do they? No. What do they go looking for? They go looking for food. They want some little critter. They want some berries. They want some, you know, whatever the bears eat. And that's what they go for. They get caught in the trap when they smell the food in the trap. They're going after the food, knowing, you know, it's like when you go deer hunting, you know, and you're up in the stand, you know, and there's a pile of corn over here. Well, you're not supposed to do that sometimes, and some states. But anyway, the deer comes along and says, hey, can't be anything wrong with here. Big old fat guy up there in the tree and a big pile of corn down here. It's got to be good. God's blessed me with this. It doesn't necessarily work out that way for us. You know, that's not what it is or where it's at. And so the enemy baits the trap using our desires. using our desires. And so that's where the temptation comes in. You know, consequences are often hidden, such as that trap underneath there that's going to snap as soon as you go to get it. And so in the book of Genesis, what we have is Eve goes by and she sees the fruit on the tree, and she comes by one day and there's old Satan right there. And he says, "Hey, look at this." You see, now remember, now the desire starts in her own heart. Now comes some deceit on Satan's part as well to deceive her. Oh, did God really say you couldn't have that? God doesn't want you to be wise as he is. And so that's why God is withholding from you. Actually, God was protecting her. That's the way it is with God. You know, she should have said no. God said no. I'm going to go on my way. Leave me alone. You see, because that's what God wants in the tests and the trials. And the temptation now comes to do that which is wrong. God said, leave it alone. Don't eat it. But it looks so good. That's her desire to have it. You see, I've looked at it day after day and I've got to have it. It's like that new cell phone. I got to have it. I've got to have it. You know, I will do anything so that I can get it. You see, and then when you get it, you think, why did I do that? You know, fish don't go looking for hooks. They look for worms. There's one dangling there. Oh, my, how did he get there? Look, he kind of bobs up and down. And so they don't normally do that. But so I can eat that one. And so that one's okay. And then he gets pulled out. He's looking for food and he becomes food. And so that's what happens. A fisherman carefully hides the hook in the bait. Fish believes that, hey, it's my lucky day. He gets more than he bargained for, and he suffers the consequences as well. So do we. We suffer the consequences every time when we do not stay the course and we give in to these temptations because of the desires that we have in life. And so what happens is, first it starts with an attack on your desires and an attempt to deceive you. And so you know you're in trouble when you tell yourself, I have to have it. I can't do without it. I would do anything for it. And I could, on and on and on, I could go with those as well. When you begin to talk like that in your head, you know that you're in trouble because you cannot do without it. There ought to be only one thing in your life that you desire bad enough to have more than anything and everything, and that is the Lord. You get outside of that, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Step 3 is an act of disobedience. Verse 15. And so what we find here is that, first of all, her desires were there. And then she was deceived as well. That, God's holding out on you. God doesn't want you to have it. It tastes good. Trust me, I know what I'm talking about. You know, the old devil was saying. Step 3 is an act of disobedience. Verse 15, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. When you follow through on that enticement and disobey God, James says you've become the proud parent of a sin. Yeah. Now you're caught in the trap. Huh. You've been disobedient. You disobey what God said, and you partake in that. You set aside that path of following God. So I'm going to do this because I want it. It looks good. Why can't I have it? I deserve it. I work hard. I tend to all the garden out here. Why can't I have just a little bit of this? God said no, that's why. Disobedience brings forth sin. Desires and deception are not sin. Know that. That desire that you have to want something is not sin. Deception, once you begin to be deceived about it, is not sin, but it's when you act upon that desire, then it becomes sin in your life. A lot of what we call sin is not, but a lot of what we call is not is. But it's an act of the will. Sin happens when your will connects with your sinful desires and say, I'm going to take the step to do this. I'm going to do it. And so Jesus said as well, he said you didn't have to, in order to commit adultery or fornication as well, he said you didn't have to actually do it, but in your heart, if you begin to plan it out and how you can set it up, you know, meet here, meet there, go here, go this, get that for her, do this and all those things, he says now you've committed it in your heart already. Amen. Because you're acting upon it now is what he said. And so it's when our will connects with our sinful desires. Anger is not sin, the Bible says. But Paul said, be angry and sin not. It's possible to be angry, but it's also, well, we've seen what it's like to get angry and sin. We pull the trigger, we punch, we do those things, we throw things against the wall, we go on and on. And so when your anger connects with your will, you begin to look for ways to get revenge. Because sin is in your heart. We need to understand that when we're tempted to do wrong, it takes the act of the will of on your part to do that which is wrong, for it to become sin. Step four is the arrival of death, your reward. And take a look and see what he says in verse 15 again. He says, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Is that not what happened to Adam and Eve? She had this desire, I've got to have it. And so she was deceived and said, oh, God didn't really mean it. He said, just withhold it from you. She took it, she ate it. And at that point then, God comes into the garden and says, Eve, where are you at? Adam and Eve, where are you at? And so we're hiding ourselves. Why? Because we're naked. Who told you that? So they were driven from the garden, separated from God in walking with Him day after day. Sin separates us from God. That's what sin is. Sin is a separation. It separates us. Sin brings forth death. Death is separation from God. Sin breaks fellowship with God and causes us to be separated from the only one who can help us. Temptation comes from our own desires. We sin. When we sin, rather, we cannot blame God. Sin is a process that we take part in and suffer the hidden consequences. I got to hurry. Take a look at the last point. You have to respond to the solutions to temptation, the solution of temptation. Let's take a look. One man said, my life is governed by this rule. Anything that dims my vision of Christ or takes away my taste for Bible study or cramps my prayer life or makes Christian work dull is wrong for me, and I must, as a Christian, run away from it. Stay the course with God. How do you do that? Consider the personality of God for direction. Take a look with me at verse 17, 16 and 17. He says, do not err, my beloved brethren. Don't err. Don't be deceived. Don't wander away from the truth. Do not err, my brethren. He says, don't be stupid. That's basically what he's saying. He says, think about this. He says, don't err, my beloved brethren. He says, why? Because every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variables, neither shadow of turning. He says, don't err, don't be deceived, don't make this mistake. One of the enemy's attacks is to get you to believe that your heavenly Father is holding out on you and He really doesn't love you, or He would give it to you. But you can get it yourself, and here's how. There's where the temptation comes in. James wants you to know in verse 17 that if it comes from God, it must be God. Even if you can't see good in it at that time, it must be from God. And that's where the tests that come along that we're talking about here, that come from God, it's going to lead to something good in your life. At the end of the road, at the end of this other road here of temptation, we saw that it bringeth forth sin, and sin brings forth death. Better to follow after God, where there's always something good from God that comes our way. Why? Because God is good. Not only is God good, He's good all the time. Notice, it cometh down from the Father of lights. God is the creator of the sun, the moon, and the stars. Let me ask you this, is the sun good? Yeah. Do you benefit from the sun? Yeah. You know, scientists tell us that, you know, just 1 millisecond without the sun and we'd be toast, so to speak. Well, not toast, but we would be frozen, I guess. And so do you worry about the sun giving light tomorrow? No, why not? How does this relate to temptations? There's no variables. No shadow of turning with God. When the sun isn't shining, it's not because God has moved, it's because the earth has moved. You see, that's why. And so James' point here is that if you aren't experiencing the goodness of God, it's not God that moved. It's you. You're the one that moved. We're the ones that keep moving. God can't change. God is immutable. He's unchangeable. God is good. God's good all the time. We're the ones that keep moving. He always wants what's best for us. Following the Lord will give you everything you need. Don't take the cheap route. Stay focused on the character of God. He'll help you to make the right decision. Because God is good and wants us to grow close to Him, we ought to have that desire to trust God. Second, concentrate on the precepts of God for defense. Verse 18, of His own will begat He us with the word of truth. God uses His word to convict us of sin, just as He used the word of God to convict us of our need of a Savior as well. It is the word of God that gives us new life in Christ. It's the same word of God that will provide you strength that you stand in need of to endure the tests and get the wisdom that's needed from God, as He told us last week, to endure the tests and overcome the temptations that come your way in life. It's pretty simple. When Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness, He said, it is written, the Word of God. It's the Word of God. When was the last time you used the Word of God when you were being tempted to sin? Didn't think about it. I was too preoccupied with trying to get a hold of it. And so I didn't necessarily have the Word of God to mind, to think about what I was not supposed to be doing at that time. Jesus did. That's why it's so important to study the Word of God on a regular basis. Now think about this. You may not need what you're studying now, but you will need it one day. You learn God's Word today so that you can use it to live tomorrow. You learn it today so you can live it tomorrow. And in between there, your faith is growing stronger and stronger and closer with the Lord day after day. Lastly, conform to the plan of God for dedication. Take a look at the last part of it here, he says. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Christians are God's first fruit. In the Old Testament, when God's people gave an offering to Him, they gave the first and the best of what they had. The very first, God got it. Even if there was only one at the time, God got that. Even if I wasn't guaranteed something else was going to come out of the harvest, I gave that to God, that offering over to God. And He got the best of what I had. What does that have to do with temptation? We give ourselves first to God. Life's not about fulfilling our own desires. The desires of our sinful flesh. It's about giving to God first. You as a believer are the best of God's creation. In His eternal plan, He's promised that He's placed you at the very top of that. That's why Jesus came in our likeness and to walk among us, to die on the cross for our sins. Some of us have forgotten who we are in Christ. When you remember who you are in Christ, how special you are, and that God is your Father, Christ is your Redeemer, the Holy Spirit is your guide, how can you choose to go and live in the gutter of life? To leave that path that God has for us, and we're following after Him. Even though the road is hard, the trials and temptations are there. By the way, let me say this as well, that even if you don't follow the Lord, you're still going to, if you're over here out in the world and you don't know Christ as Savior, you're still going to endure the same tests and trials of life. They just won't benefit you any. You just have to endure them one after the other for no absolute reason or purpose at all. God's plan for you is patience through tests and victory over temptations in life. Whatever temptation you may be facing, these three steps, focusing on God's goodness, fixing His word in your life, and following His plan for your life will get you right back on track with Him. When you get back on track, you'll grow, mature, and be able to survive the temptations. Stand with me as we're ready